Z1077 welcomes you to Up Close, a weekly public affairs program presented by Z1077 News. You're invited to call in with your questions and comments. Our call-in number is 366-8471. Now, your host for Up Close, Gary Danielle.
Well, thank you, mystery announcer, wherever you are, and welcome to the Z1077 Up Close Show on this drop-dead gorgeous September 1st, 2023. I'm Gary Danielle, your host. Our producer is Michelle Alley. Phone number for you to call and participate is 760-366-8471. And our guest in studio today, the principal of Yucca Valley High School, Justin Monocle. And Mr. Monocle, welcome to the Up Close Show.
Good morning, Gary. How are you? Thanks for having me.
I'm great. Yeah, brand new school year. I'm going to talk about that. Then the last time you were here with Mike Ruggiero, mm-hmm. we talked a little bit about what's going on in the high schools. Now we get to focus a little bit on Yucca Valley High School.
Great.
But next week, Mike Ruggiero will be here. We'll do the same thing with 29 Palms High School. School is starting. I think parents want to know what's going on in their school. And I think there's a lot of things going on in our high schools that people aren't aware of. So let's tell them about it.
Sure.
I want to talk a little about some of the changes I see happening at Yucca Valley High School, all for the positive, mm-hmm. and that's a closer relationship with Copper Mountain College. And some kids
yes.
who are taking advantage of that, it's really successful, really a career accelerator.
It really is, Gary, and we really value that relationship that we have with Copper Mountain College. We have had a really big growth in the dual enrollment program, which allows our students to be getting high school credits for high school level classes that are also college level classes. It's a dual enrollment piece where they're working on that high school diploma, but they're also building a college transcript at the same time. And the beautiful part that we have in the growth of this partnership right now with Copper Mountain College is not only do our own teachers have the availability to teach those courses when they meet certain standards of certification and training for themselves, but when we don't have someone that meets that standard, we are also able to partner with Copper Mountain College and remote in some of their professors to help teach those courses as well. And so we've been able to add a very robust offering of courses over the last several school years, and this year even more. So our students are getting closer and closer to graduating from high school, not only with their diploma, but also getting awfully close to having an AA by the time they finish their high school careers.
So they get out of high school, and they have a huge head start as far as college requirements, and a big head start in, you say, some of them mostly close to getting an AA degree.
They're really getting close. It is a huge, huge head start. And not only do we have that dual enrollment process that, again, has grown over the years tremendously, but we also work with Copper Mountain College to do the RISE program, which is getting kids into the CMC process early. So they get in, they get priority registration, they get their classes set up long before they ever even graduate from high school. So they're going to work with our seniors this year, with our counseling department and Copper Mountain College to get that RISE program going, get those seniors into the process so that they get everything dialed in before they graduate from high school and they hit the ground running in the fall with CMC.
So parents, take advantage of the closest we are to a California Community College. It may be the smallest community college in the state, but it's still ours.
It's still ours, and it's tremendous. You know, a lot of people ask questions about that, Gary, and I'll tell you, Copper Mountain College offers a great educational opportunity for our students once they leave the K-12 system. My own children being products of Morongo Unified, one of my daughters went to CMC right out of high school and had an invaluable experience. It's a great program.
And I've talked to, the reason I brought it up, is I've talked to parents who are saying, you know, people don't take advantage of this, and I don't realize the incredible benefit. A child has to take the class anyway in high school mm-hmm. In order to get graduation requirements, mm-hmm. why not also make that a college requirement? So, but when you do graduate from high school, you've got half the battle done of getting those requirements done.
Absolutely. Yeah. And the other thing, you know, just so that folks know how forward thinking Copper Mountain College is with this. Not only do they have the articulated agreement with Morongo Unified to offer these dual enrollment programs, but they also then have articulated agreements with public universities throughout the state of California. So when those students are taking these dual enrollment classes with us, they're completing that high school diploma, they're getting some of those college credits out of the way, but then those college courses that they're taking with us are also articulated to those four-year universities, so they get direct transferability of those units. So they're again, really truly gaining ground, getting ahead of the game. They have a leg up on other students that are their own age that didn't have these opportunities from other schools.
I want to loop back a little bit and then do some basic explanations of things. First of all, I want to loop back to you. How long have you been in education, and where'd you grow up? Where are you from?
So I'm originally from Ventura County. I was born in Santa Barbara, grew up in Ventura County, came down to the desert about 20 years ago or so. I spent some time down in the low desert, Palm Springs Unified, but I've now been in Morongo Unified for the last 20 years.
Santa Barbara High School.
Ah, there you go, the Dons. All right, golden green for you. That must be the connection to 29 Palms, that green thing again, right?
It must be.
There you go.
When did you decide in your career that you wanted to go into education? I think you're originally involved in athletics.
Yeah, well, you know, so it started very early on, and it's one of the things that I think is the most tremendous thing that we do in education, and the power of the relationships that teachers have with kids. I had some incredible teachers growing up, and I can tell you, I remember my fifth grade teacher, Mr. Bowers, and I finished that school year, and my dad picked me up at the last day of school, and we were out going for lunch, and he said, How was school year? Everything was great. And I said, Dad, I want to be a teacher. Why? Because Mr. Bowers was awesome. I want to be him. And, you know, it was one of those things that I just knew early on what I wanted to do. I wanted to be involved in education. And, yes, I did have, an athletic career that coincided with my academic career. And so that gave me a lot of opportunities and benefits. But the plan was right away, I'm going into teaching. I want to have the opportunity to have the same impact on kids that my teachers had on me.
So it was becoming a secondary level principal, just something that happened, or something you worked towards, all of a sudden you got an opportunity? Because a lot of teachers in a classroom want to stay in the classroom. It's a
right.
Totally different breed of cat going into administration.
Yeah, it certainly is, and I'll just answer the three questions that you asked by saying yes. Yes, it was one of those things that it was an opportunity that presented itself. I had been given the opportunity to be involved in some leadership roles on campus, demonstrated some prowess and ability there. Some folks saw some things in me and gave me some opportunities to show what I could do. So it's, you know, it was not something that I think when I started in education, they said, I'm going to be a principal someday. But it happened, and I hope that in the scope of what I'm able to do as an instructional leader is, again, help unlock the doors for kids so that they can get to the places that they want to be. And I also want to make sure that I enable our teachers and our students to build those relationships, because it really starts there. We have some tremendous teachers at our school that just go above and beyond every day to connect with kids and help show them where they can be. And I think that's the biggest key. You know, a lot of kids, they have dreams, but they don't know the path to walk to get there.
Yep.
And unless they have those adults in their lives that say, hey, I can show you, then it's really, it's a difficult journey that it can be for students. But with the right adults and in the right places, doors get opened and kids have opportunities. And that's what it's all about.
I want to go back to some basics that parents may not understand, although they think they do. I want to talk about attendance.
Right.
How important is attendance, and how is that enforced? Because it's not necessarily you. I mean, the state of California has very strict rules.
Sure.
So just I want to explain the process of attendance to parents who may not understand how important that is,
right,
both for the education and for the institution.
So multifaceted answer there really for us, Gary. And I'm going to go to the simplest thing and the statement that we've always heard in education. Miss a day, miss a lot. If students aren't in school, they're not learning. They're not learning the things that they can learn at school. And it doesn't mean that they don't have learning opportunities going on outside of school. But we know that the fundamental function of what we do is to teach kids things that they otherwise would not have access to. So if they miss a day, they're going to miss a lot. Now, when it comes to the need for them to be in school and how all of that legislative side of things works, compulsory education, it's a requirement. The state gives us a set of guidelines that students within this age range until they are 18 years old or they graduate from high school are required to attend school. And so it's our job to again take away all of the barriers that would prevent a student from being able to be there on a regular basis. And we work very hard with that, and we've developed and had to evolve over a period of time with the program offerings we have for students. Our program at the Academy of College and Career Excellence, we call it ACE, has given students a ton of opportunities to access education when coming to school on a regular basis, on a daily basis, with the normal, you know, seven period, six period day kind of deal, isn't necessarily going to fit with the other things that are going on in their lives. They have options. They have educational options that keep them engaged and keep them learning, and that's huge. You know, the other thing that plays into this is, you know, we hear from families all of the time, you know, about what they want us to be able to offer their students. You know, hey, we would really love to see this at the school. We value those parent partners, because if we don't know what the community wants, we go about business as usual. However, when the parents come through and they say, hey, these are the things that we want, we want to reiterate to them that oftentimes gets tied to our attendance when it comes to a funding issue. If we don't have students coming to school on a regular basis, that impacts our funding. And when it impacts our funding, we can't offer our students as many things as we would like to offer them. So it's really, again, like I said, multifaceted response to this, because it's important for students to be there for the learning aspect. That's it. That's the foundational level. But there's so many other things that are tethered to this that are so important for everybody to understand how the system works, so that we can provide our kids the absolute best. And that's what we want to do. We want to provide our kids in the Morongo Basin the absolute best, so that they are on par with what everyone else is doing everywhere. And we want to go beyond that.
Now, the alternatives to attending a regular school, like mm-hmm. Yucca Valley High School, there are some. A lot of people talk about homeschooling, but I don't think parents realize that homeschool, they still have requirements by the state of California that have to be met, and tests that have to be taken,
sure,
and certain things that have to be done. So it's not like, well, you know, after dinner tonight, I'll teach little Johnny how to do his sums, right, and maybe you know, some spelling. It doesn't work that way. So it's you know, it's not really that easy an alternative. There are some groups of homeschool parents around here, and they do a good job.
Yes, they do.
I run a theater program, and we get a lot of homeschool kids who enrolled in that program by their parents, and I know there's a homeschool organization. So, and then there's ICE, which is kind of a mix between the two. Can you explain what that is?
ICE, a few years ago, that was the Independent Continuing Education Program. That was the independent study. It has now been melded with ACE.
Right? I know there's been a lot of changes.
Right.
So, yeah.
Right. All part and parcel now. But I want to address a couple of things. First and foremost, I've never met and encountered a homeschool student, and we have homeschool students that come back to us frequently,
yeah,
and participate in the compulsory ed program. And I've never met a homeschool student that I didn't think was wildly intelligent. I sit down and talk to these kids, and because of the personalization that they get with working one-on-one oftentimes with somebody in a homeschool setting, they're very bright kids. But the other thing that I want us to remember is the important aspect of what happens at school outside of the academic side of things is the socialization process, being around other people, learning how to interact with society as a whole and at large. So that becomes a really important part. But we do have programs that are available that mimic what some parents and families are looking for with the homeschool process. Independent study looks that same way. And the thing that I would talk to folks most about in that is, you know, parents have the idea of homeschool might be a good option for my kid, and they may not necessarily be well informed about the pressures that put on them,
yep,
as a parent.
Yeah.
And so we have systems in place that mimic maybe what they might be looking for with that takes some of that pressure off of mom and dad, so that they can focus on running the household and taking care of the family and not necessarily having to worry about deploying the lesson today for biology or for trigonometry, right? They can focus on the parent aspects of things, which is incredibly important, and we can take some of that burden through those independent study programs off of that.
I know, as you know, years ago I taught vocational education, yes, at the high school, and we occasionally have a homeschool student who would take that class at the high school, just mm-hmm. come in for that and go out. So there, mm-hmm. are there other opportunities like that out there?
100%. We actually have a number of students who work with the ACE program who are our students. If a student goes to ACE, they are a Yucca Valley High School student, or they're a 29 Palms High School student, even if they attend through that program at ACE. But we also allow concurrent enrollment through those programs, meaning we could have a student that takes, you know, four periods of classes at Yucca Valley High School with us and then goes over and does two programs or two periods over at the ACE program, or vice versa. They may do four periods of instruction over at ACE and then come do two specialized programs that ACE can't offer that we have on our site. And so there is a lot of latitude back and forth. It's not just square peg, round hole kind of thing always that we're trying to make happen. We're always trying to tailor the system to what our community is saying, what the students are saying they need and want, and we're trying to build structures to make sure that we accommodate that way.
On that, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back with more of the Z1077 Up Close Show. Our guest in studio today, Yucca Valley High School Principal Justin Monacle. If you'd like to call and participate, our phone number is 760-366-8471. We'll be right back with more. Don't go away.
This is Cody Joseph from The Morning Show with Cody and Jeff. Sue's Health Foods is a regular stop for me. I can get staples there that I can't find at the grocery store. Everything from booch to nooch, as Jeff likes to say. Cashews in bulk, miso paste, local honey, and sweet treats for my kids. They really like the fruit chews from the bulk bins. The bulk bins are probably our favorite part of the store, and the employees are always so friendly and helpful. We couldn't make half the recipes we love without the ingredients we get from Sue's. My family has been shopping there for years, and the quality and care we have gotten has always been top-notch. I love going there, and I love supporting a local business that has given so much to our community for so many years.
Sue's Health Food, committed to your good health.
You know that Firehouse Subs has the tastiest subs in the high desert. But did you know about their magnificent pizza sub mashup? The pepperoni pizza meatball sub. Italian meatballs, extra provolone, and crispy pepperoni on a toasted garlic bread roll. It's back for a limited time. Download the app today for deals and discounts. A portion of every purchase at Firehouse Subs helps provide life-saving equipment to first responders. Firehouse Subs. Enjoy more subs. Save more lives. In the Home Depot Center, Yucca Valley.
And we are back with the Z1077 Up Close Show. I'm your host, Gary Daniel. Our guest in studio today, Yucca Valley High School Principal Justin Monacle. Our number for you to call, 760-366-8471. And we do have a caller on the line. And good morning. You're on the radio. What is your name?
I got some questions for the principal.
Yeah. What is your name?
The first one is, why don't you answer your email?
Hey, what is your name?
David Maya.
Okay. And your question is, why don't you answer your emails?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hi, David. How are you? I would really love to help you. I'll tell you what. You can reach out to me at any time in my office, and I will be happy to sit down and chat with you about anything that we need to discuss.
Okay?
Okay. The second question is, my daughter's enrolled in ACE because of some difficulties she had last year.
Okay, we can't talk about an individual student or anything like that. We're talking about opportunities and things they can do. We can't talk about individual students.
Okay.
All right. Hey, thanks for calling. Have a great day. 760-366-8471. You had mentioned ACEs earlier, mm-hmm. and I had talked a little bit about vocational education, but ACEs, what are the offerings over there? Because some of them are brand new and some of them are pretty cool.
Right. We have some tremendous programs. So the first thing that happens at ACE is students have access to normal compulsory educational courses, right? They're going to be able to take their core courses in English, math, science, social science. They're going to be able to do what would be the required courses for graduation. But another component with ACE is the career technical education component, where kids can get job training through these various programs. And one of the best things that we have with the ACE program and the marriages between all of the school sites with it is students can go back and forth and do concurrent enrollment between all of the sites. So, for example, at 29 Palms High School, they have the Registered Dental Assistant Program. Students from Yucca Valley High School can stay concurrently enrolled and do their core coursework with us, but they can go in the afternoons to that dental program. Our students can also go over to ACE West or ACE East and attend any one of those programs that are over there as well, where they have things like cybersecurity, drone pilot.
I was excited about the drone thing.
Amazing programs.
Yeah, I got one a while ago as a gift, and I mm-hmm. still haven't figured it out yet. I thought, well, I might just go take that class.
Yeah. Yeah, it's great. And we even have programs that are career technical education programs on our campus. So again, like I said, we have these things spread out across all of these different facilities that our students can go to depending upon what their interests are. But on our campus, we have three main programs. We have the criminal justice program taught by Brad Ramos. We have a culinary arts and management program taught by Evelani Tijeron. And then we also have a pharmacy tech program taught by Sarah True. So kids come out of these programs with industry-grade certifications ready to go into the workforce right away.
Now, you have a full commercial kitchen at Yucca High School.
Yes, we do. It's a pretty tremendous facility.
Yeah, so a student can take that class and then go to work at a restaurant.
Right away. Yeah, absolutely. Right away. And again, same sort of thing with the pharmacy tech program. Sarah does a tremendous job with that program. And again, kids come out certified and they go to work at a local pharmacy right away. Brad Ramos, again, same thing with the criminal justice program. He has access to all of the training tools and devices that students need to go into a law enforcement career. And it doesn't have to necessarily be just an actual law enforcement, as a sheriff's deputy or a highway patrol officer working for a local police department. They can get into various programs that are just offshoots of the criminal justice system. We even have programs for our students to do private security guard training through ACE East, as well as 911 dispatching. So kids have opportunities all over the district to get that career technical ed training.
All right, we get another caller. Let's go to Arturo. You're on the radio. Good morning, Arturo.
Morning. Hi, Mr. Monaco. I just want to give you a shout-out to Mr. Monaco. He used to be my teacher back in 2007 for English class, and I just want to tell you how much I appreciate him teaching.
Thank you, Arturo. It's good to hear from you. I hope things are going well.
Thank you.
Thanks, Arturo.
Yes. Talk to you soon.
It's always nice to hear from former students, isn't it?
It is. You know, and that's one of the things that we have all of these measures that we have to meet and all of these metrics that we try to achieve every year. And the one thing that you can't measure is that kind of relationship. When you have kids come back to you 10 years, 15 years after the fact and say, thanks, it's really validating as an educator.
Going back to basics again, I know I had you explain the importance of attendance. Again, we hear about it so much, it becomes almost rote, but I don't think people understand the importance of it. I also would like to know how you handle the phenomenon of social media. In the last 10 years, it has literally changed lives in the world, but the biggest impact is on school. How are you handling social media now at Yucca Valley High School?
So, you know, two things that happen with that. Number one, it is a very, very powerful tool for us to send out messages about what's going on at school, make sure that people are getting things in real-time fashion as best we possibly can. So it can be a tremendous tool to really advertise the positive things that are happening on our campuses. And we have a great public information officer that handles a lot of that for the school district and works in partnership with our schools. But each of the schools then also maintains some degree of social media to be able to get information out to families right away. The other challenges that we run into with that, though, on the flip side of things, is sometimes information gets out there that might not be accurate. And on social media, we know things, they gain momentum very quickly, and they may not necessarily be based in fact. So that's something that becomes a really distinct challenge, is making sure that people have accurate information. And that's not always the case.
What is the policy with students and cell phones? I know years ago when they first started, it was no cell phones at all. Put them away. We don't want to see them. Mm-hmm. But reality has crept in. What is the policy right now for cell phones at Yucca Valley High School?
So there is a very clear and distinct policy, both from education code and Board of Education policies, that govern what devices we can have on our campus and can't have on our campuses. At Yucca Valley High School, what we deal with when we deal with cell phones is we ask, because we know that they are in existence. It's like having eyes and ears and a nose and a mouth. Kids are going to have a cell phone.
Yeah.
Right? And so we understand that process. What we want to do is we want to keep that cell phone from impacting learning in a negative way. We want to make sure that it's not a distraction. And so our request for our students is that it is away and off during instructional time. If it comes out during instructional time, it can be confiscated, and you can get it back at the end of the day. We just don't want it to take away from your opportunity to learn. And that is a challenge. It really is. Social media, cell phones, the attachment to the digital world is really, really enticing for our kids. It's a hard thing to put down.
It's a huge distraction.
It is.
Yeah. So you can have your cell phone, but turn it off when you're learning.
Right. When you're in the classroom, when you're learning, that's sacred ground. We gotta take those cell phones and put them away and get them out of the sight and the minds of the people that should be in the classroom learning.
And are there consequences for a first offense or a second offense?
Of course. Like anything we do with our behaviors, everything is always on a progressive disciplinary case. You know, no one's going to have any severe consequences for violating the policy the first time. But if it becomes a habitual thing, then obviously we got to find other ways to correct the behavior so that, again, we protect the learning environment. And we want to do it for two things. Number one, the learner, him or herself, right? We want to make sure that our learners keep that focus in mind when they're in class. But we also want to protect our teachers in that process as well. Our teachers need to be able to instruct free of those distractions. And oftentimes, trying to teach in a digital age with the cell phones in the classroom, it's a real challenge because it's just something that you have to compete with. And we try to eliminate that competition so that kids can stay focused and teachers can be able to do their jobs effectively.
Social media is designed to sell products and to keep an interest in buying products.
Sure.
But it has a lot of negative effects. Do you teach students about the dangers of social media, what they should be watching out for? You know, I mean, there's a lot of pretty evil, nefarious stuff that goes on online, and sometimes the kids are just naive.
100%. So we also operate at all of our schools with what we call an MTSS program, and that's the multi-tiered systems of support. And we know that we have, in those multiple tiers, we have the academic side of things, we have the behavioral side of things, we have the social-emotional side of things. And those tiers are broken down into three tiers: tier one, tier two, tier three. Tier one is the stuff that everyone gets. So oftentimes we put on programs, and we'll use social media and or cell phone usage as one of those things, where we'll do presentations to all of our students and say, hey, look, here's the pitfalls, here are the perils, here's the damage that can be done. We want to make sure you have the information, because a lot of times it's like when our kids turn 16 and they get the keys to the car and they're off and running, you hope that you've trained them right and you hope that all those lessons sunk in, but you're a little nervous as a parent when they take off and go. And a cell phone's no different. Social media is no different. You hope you've trained them right. You hope the lessons have sunk in. But we've got to help reiterate those through the tier one programs that we put on. Sometimes when we have students that don't respond well to those tier one presentations that say, hey, here are the things we need to pay attention to, then we got to jump into the process of saying, hey, we're going to go to tier two and tier three, which is where we start to intervene and say, maybe this didn't work for you the first time. We want to help you understand a little bit more. So at Yucca Valley High School, we have a very robust MTSS program run by Garrett Gruel, who is our MTSS coordinator. And then we have two intervention specialists with Nicole Parks and Matt Gay. And they work on various projects. Nicole focuses on the SEL and the behavioral piece of things. Matt focuses on the graduation rate things, and he's trying to get kids to stay on track and work on their academic piece. And then Garrett focuses on the attendance piece that we were talking about earlier. So they really approach that from that holistic perspective. But they might come in a case of something like a cell phone issue where it's really becoming a problem for a kid, they might be called in to sit down and talk to Nicole and go through a process of, hey, these are the things that you really need to know so we can start to try to change that behavior before it becomes something where discipline gets involved.
It, as both an educator and a parent, is there an age that you think is appropriate for a child to start having access to social media?
72.
I just qualified.
You know, it's one of those where, again, it's a case-by-case basis and it's a kid-by-kid basis. Some kids, they get it right away. You know, they just have that sense of responsibility. For other kids, it's a shiny new toy, and they're learning as they're going. And because technology is constantly evolving, we're all learning as we're going. And so that becomes the biggest challenge, is as new things develop and they get access to more and more stuff that we as the adults might not even be aware of that are out there. That's what creates some of that challenge for us. And so, I say that in jest, because I think, you know, a lot of times it is a tremendous tool and it can do tremendous good. And it's not something that we want to lock people away from and say it doesn't exist, because that's the way the world exists. But we also want to make sure that they know how to responsibly use the tool. It can be seen as a strategic differentiator, not something that needs to be managed or hidden or
governed. A parent has to gauge the maturity of their child and make that decision for them.
Yes.
Should parents be overseeing social media use?
You know, in my experience, Gary, our parents are actively involved, really, with what goes on with that. Again, there are just a lot of things that develop over a period of time that, again, a parent might just not be aware of. And that's one of the other things that we try to do is just send information home to say, folks, this is something new we've seen. If you didn't know, now you do. Because it's just one of those where it evolves so fast. And I think, you know, our experience is, you know, when we hear about things that are happening that might not be the greatest things ever, a lot of times we're tipped off by a parent. Hey, I was taking a look at something on social media and I saw, and you guys might want to know. And so we think our parents are pretty actively involved that way, but we want them to continue to reach out to us with those things. Even if they don't know how to access it or monitor it or manage it with their child, they can reach out to us and we can help.
Does your administration monitor any social media sites, or are you just kind of keeping your ears open? And
you know, as far as monitoring social media sites, that can be around the clock full-time job.
Yeah.
But we do access that kind of information. You know, it's a public forum, so it's out there and we can see those things. And it's what allows us to get ahead of a lot of issues that may be brewing. It also allows us to kind of keep a good temperature on what, you know, might happen on campus or has happening in the community. But it's again one of those things that it's a 24-hour a day deal when it comes to social media, and that's the hard part. When you and I were in school and we were going through these processes, you know, school was at school, and then when you left, it was done, and then you came back the next day and you started fresh and you started new. And the advent of social media and the access to cell phones and devices make it a 24-hour process for our kids. And that's tough because it never ends. It's always there for them, and it's just always that draw. And so, again, it's that management of that process to keep our kids safe, keep them focused on the things that we want them to be focused on is the goal.
Now, you mentioned parent engagement, that parents are pretty good at watching what the kids are doing and making sure that they're safe online. What are other things parents can get engaged in with their students and the school? What can parents do in conjunction with Yucca Valley High School to make their child's career a good start, a fresh start, and a good experience?
Right away, the most important thing you can do is, again, reach out to us. And I know we talked with our first caller and he was concerned about responses to emails and things like that. But reaching out, making that attempt at contact is the first and most important thing that parents can do. It's never a bother. I was working with a family this morning and they said, "We're so sorry we came in and just, you know, we wanted to meet with you about this issue." And it's like, no, this is what we're here for. We are here to make sure that our kids are being educated and our parents know what's going on. So that first, you know, attempt to reach out and make contact, that's what we want. There are a ton of other ways that folks can get involved in school. We take volunteers all the time. Of course, they have to go through clearance processes, and make sure the people are vetted before they come in and work with our folks in the schools. But we take volunteers all the time to work on our campus, and we love that. The other thing that we look at is things like school site council. Parents, by law, have a right to be involved in their children's education. As a result, we have things like school site council at all of our schools, where parents can come and sit in partnership with students and staff to set the ball in motion for what happens at school as far as setting goals, setting priorities, and actions to match those goals and priorities so that our students learn. Our parents are key partners in that process. That is something that I would encourage all of our parents at any level to do at any of their schools. Get involved. Ask how you can be part of school site council. It is a very, very powerful vehicle to making positive change happen at a school.
Now, you mentioned there's a number of parent of volunteer opportunities on campus. Mm-hmm. Can you give me an idea of what some of those are?
Certainly. We can always use volunteers for supervision, whether it's, you know, on campus during high traffic times like lunch, things of that nature. When we go on field trips and our kids go on lots of off-campus opportunities to experience the world outside of compulsory education that complements it, we always need folks to help supervise in that capacity. So that's one way that parents can get involved. We also have booster clubs that work with all kinds of organizations on campus, whether they're athletic or activities-based. And booster club opportunities are, again, a great way for parents to have direct impact on the programs that are also most important to them at the schools.
All right. We're going to take another quick break. We'll be back with more. Our guests in studio. Oh, no, we don't have a caller. Sorry about that. We'll be right back with more. Don't go away.
Just because high prices are hurting your grocery budget doesn't mean your family needs to eat cereal for dinner. Stop by your neighborhood grocery outlet and make it a steak night. We have an amazing selection of meats, including beef, pork, and chicken, all within your family's budget. But that's not all. Grocery Outlet is your one-stop shop for all your grocery shopping needs, with savings of up to 40 to 70%. Stop by today for deals you won't believe.
Grocery Outlet, Bargain Market.
Has the dream of homeownership felt just out of reach for you? Make this the year that your dream comes true. This is Patty Brown, a.k.a. the Loan Lady or the Queen of Green. Don't be afraid to make the first step and pick up the phone. You've got questions? We've got answers and no obligation. We also do home improvement loans in case you need cash for a honey-do list, property taxes, a basic remodel, or a whole house overhaul. Call me today at 365-7003. The Loan Lady. We want to be your real estate lender.
And we are back with the Z1077 Up Close Show. I'm Gary Dignot. Our guest in studio today, Justin Monaco, the principal of Yucca Valley High School. We talked about academics. I want to go back to that a little bit. I don't think a lot of people realize what a remarkable record our local schools have as far as graduation rates and quality of education, far exceeding even state standards. Blow that horn a little bit, Justin.
Yeah, absolutely.
Tell us what a great job you're doing educating the kids.
You know, and I think that's something that gets under-celebrated, you know. And
that's why I brought it up.
Right. Yeah. And it's consistently under-celebrated. So it's, you know, and our school district does a great job in trying to get the word out there so folks do know what's happening. But let's talk about some of those great things that are happening.
Graduation rates.
Our graduation rate has steadily crept back up to where we were pre-pandemic. We were at a place pre-pandemic where we were having about 90% of our students were making it to graduation successfully, which was far and above the state average. You know, obviously everybody struggled a little bit with the pandemic. That was a really impactful thing with
education. And I'm going to talk about that specifically.
But we've crept back up and we're getting closer to that 85 to 90% mark, which is again at or above that state average, which is something that we are definitely always targeting. We want to have our kids be at the tip of the spear with things. So again, graduation rates are going up. Last year we had a tremendous year with our state standardized testing, where our students showed what they know, and we had the average rate of improvement on language arts tests improved by 20 points per student, which was 7 times more than our target was supposed to be.
Wow.
So that was huge. And then in mathematics, we had our students improve an average of 28 points on the state assessment, which again, same sort of thing there. You're talking, that's 9 times what our projection was supposed to be. So we've had some tremendous growth, and our kids are learning and our teachers are teaching, and we're really enjoying the fruits of those labors. We have a tremendous group of leaders on our campus and our senior class. They are academically driven, they want to be successful, and they lead incredibly well. I can tell you, year after year after year, we're excited about the students that are coming to us from La Contenta. They're coming more and more prepared every year to tackle the rigors of high school. One of the other things that's been really important for us as well, because we are in a constant process of shaping behaviors that we want to see from our students at school, and we have a very strong PBIS program that helps us explicitly teach the behaviors that we want to see from our students, and then also reward them when they're doing the right thing, right? Celebrate kids that are doing the right things. And in the process of that, Nicole Parks, like I said, who works in our MTSS program, along with one of our assistant principals, Deanna Skinta, they head up our PBIS program with a team of folks on our campus. Last year, we received the gold standard recognition from the state of California for our PBIS program.
What does PBIS stand for?
Positive Behavior Interventions and Supports.
Okay.
So it's basically, again, it's giving the appropriate intervention to find other means of correction to correct poor behavior, but also redirect students and explicitly teach the positive behaviors that we want to see. So the great thing about that gold standard is we were one of 4 high schools in San Bernardino County to receive a gold level recognition. It just doesn't happen very frequently at the high school level. And this year we are hopeful, we are optimistic, we have applied for and qualified for the platinum recognition from the PBIS coalition from the state level. last year, looking at last year's results, I went back and I was like, man, platinum sounds like it's going to be pretty good. Looked at it, and there were only four high schools in the state of California that received the platinum recognition last year. So, and we are poised to, like I said, we have applied for that, we qualified for that, we're just waiting on the final recognition from the state with it.
So you mentioned test scores were up, graduation rates is up. Is that kind of a boomerang effect coming out of the COVID era?
You know, yes and no. Quite honestly, Gary, I COVID, the pandemic, it was tough on everybody. There's doubt about it. And we're not gonna deny its existence. But one of the things that I've always said about what goes on at Yucca Valley High School is far more good than bad occurs there. We have so many kids and so many staff members doing so many great things, and we want to celebrate that. And kids are learning, and they are achieving. When I talk to our alumni, and we get on our social media, and we celebrate kids when they're going to this university, or they're enrolling in this program, or they've done this career technical ed, and I get alumni reach out to me going, wow, look at all of these great things that our kids are doing and what they're achieving. That's what it's all about. So is it a boomerang effect coming out of COVID? Maybe. I think it's always been there, though, right? And we had to rebound a little bit from that because it did certainly impact us. But it's always been there. Yucca Valley High School does great things.
On that, we'll take a commercial break. We'll be back with the final portion of the Z1077 Up Close Show right after these brief messages.
At Morongo Basin Community Health Center, your health is our priority. That's why we have medical specialists, including chiropractic, behavioral health, and now dermatology, available right here in our convenient Yucca Valley and 29 Palms clinics. Make an appointment today. Call 760-365-9305 or log on to our new website, morongobasinhealth.org. Morongo Basin Community Health Center, a program of Morongo Basin Healthcare District.
The there's always time for the drive-thru deal. Because no matter how fast you are at making breakfast, McDonald's is faster.
Nothing fits your morning routine better than a hot and savory sausage McMuffin with egg. That sizzling sausage, melty cheese, and freshly cracked egg is ready when you are. Right now, get two for just $5.50. Prices and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. Here's what I do when I can't stop thinking about McDonald's frozen drinks. Oh, I grab one. And sometimes I do a little two-step. It's like every sip is my personal turn-up. Because there are drinks. Then there are drinks from McDonald's.
Sip into summer with the chillest drinks, like our new frozen Hawaiian Punch or a frozen Fanta Blue Raspberry at participating McDonald's.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
And we are back with the Z1077 Up Close Show. I'm Gary Dignot, your host. Our guest in studio today is Justin Monaco, the principal of Yucca Valley High School. And again, thanks for coming out. And I want to let you know, next week we'll have Mike Ruggiero from Torrance Palms High School. It gives us a chance to talk about the high schools and the opportunities that are there. Let's talk about the opportunities kids have who have specific interests. A lot of school clubs that are of a specific interest clubs. Can you give us kind of a snapshot of those?
Absolutely. So a couple of things with when it comes to clubs. We have a very strong ASB program. Our ASB advisors, Nicole Parks and Ariana Rodriguez, have a whole host of options for students to participate in that are all student-driven and student-based interests. So we have art clubs, we have music clubs, we have anime clubs, we have video game clubs, we have chess club. Anything that a kid has a desire to create a club for that we're legally allowed to have them do on a campus, they can go to ASB and they can petition to start a club. They can write a constitution and get kids with similar interests meeting together and just sharing those interests and developing some partnerships that way. So we have that piece of things going on campus, along with, and another part of ASB is our athletic endeavors. So we have kids that want to, you know, get out there and participate in sports and do that kind of thing. That's also a subset of our ASB, and we enjoy that process tremendously, and we've had lots and lots of success in all of those endeavors.
Do you encourage students to get involved in something behind besides just reading, writing, and arithmetic?
There is nothing more important than being involved in anything on campus that interests you outside of the academic realm. Of course, the academic piece is what we are primarily there for. But as I said earlier, when we were talking about the socialization piece, the lessons that you learn about life and how to be the best person that you can be extend beyond that classroom in those other arenas with our staff, right? When you're out there with a coach or you're out there with an advisor working on that common interest, you're learning life lessons that will far transcend anything that you learn in a textbook. And so that is the most critical thing. It's the first thing that we tell our freshmen when they come in and be part of our school each year, get involved. It is so critical. It plugs you into so many other people. It makes the process that much more enjoyable. It's absolutely critical.
We started out the show talking about the unique partnership that Yucca Valley High School has with Copper Mountain College and the dual enrollment classes. What other community partnerships do you have at Yucca Valley High School?
So we work a lot with our local agencies that can provide support services for our students when they may be having challenges outside of school that we don't necessarily have either the personnel, the training, or the equipment to be able to tend to those needs. So we work with folks like the Tay Center, Lutheran Social Services, Reach Out Morongo Basin, Desert Mountain Children's Center. We have partnerships with all of those folks where they can either come in and provide services to our students on school site, or our students can work with them independently once the school day is over. We know that so many of our kids have needs that are very difficult to meet, and families are doing the absolute best that they can, but they still need supports, and our community has so many of those supports out there, so our kids' needs can be met. And what we want to do is we want to start to relieve the pressure that happens with some of those social emotional pieces so that they're more able to access what happens academically at school.
We talk about services. One of the unique things about Morongo Unified is school lunches, school breakfasts.
Yes.
So tell us a little bit about the program at Yucca Valley High School and how that works for students.
Well, I'm going to tell you right now, Gary, I'm getting a little hungry myself, so my brain doesn't always function great. And that's one of the things that we know. There are strong links between dealing with hunger and an ability for someone's brain to function appropriately, right? Fire on all cylinders. And so our business services department and nutritional services department worked very hard to ensure that we have that community provision where we can feed all of our students free of charge. And that really takes the pressure off of families, and it takes the pressure off of kids. They can come in every day, they can get a meal at the beginning of the day, they get breakfast ready to go as soon as they step on campus, they have lunch about midday, and they can even get a grab-and-go meal in the afternoon before they get on the bus to leave and go home. So it really does help us where we know some of our students and some of our families struggle with that our kids are being fed.
Is that unique to Morongo Unified Schools?
I wouldn't say that it's unique, but it's certainly something that we want to celebrate. I know not every community, not every school is going to qualify for that. Not every district is going to qualify for that. But we do, and it's a strength. It's something that we can really make sure that the basic needs for our kids are taken care of. Wayne Hamilton, if you know, I'm sure you know Wayne. Wayne
has been on the show a couple times.
He is a tremendous, tremendous asset to our community, and he makes sure that you know our kids that have those struggles, that they get access to those community resources.
And I'm
going to
give a little back. Wayne Hamilton is the district administrator who deals with homeless children.
Yes.
And there are a lot in the Morongo Basin.
I think more than folks would acknowledge or recognize immediately, you know, they just don't know. And there are a number of students that meet those challenges every day. And so if we can just alleviate a little bit of that pressure that those students and those families feel, we know that they're going to have a better chance to be successful in school.
Another one of the unique challenges of Morongo Unified is the geography and getting kids to school, transportation. That is quite a feat for them to accomplish.
It is. You know, we go through the accreditation process, and one of the things we share with visiting teams quite frequently is our school district is geographically the size of Rhode Island. And so to get the, you know, 7,000 or so students every day to school.
Repeat that again.
Yeah, again, geographically the size of Rhode Island.
Holy moly.
So when you're talking about, we have students coming from Johnson Valley to Yucca Valley High School on a daily basis. We have students coming from Morongo Valley to Yucca Valley High School on a daily basis. You have students in 29 Palms coming from Wonder Valley and the far reaches of Wonder Valley to come into 29 Palms High School every day. Kids come from a great distance to get there. And so couple of things that are really important with that. It's important for us to be at our best when they get there, because the amount of energy and effort it takes to get to school when you're traveling that distance is profound. And so we want to make sure that, again, we're at our best. But it is one of the unique challenges that we do face as a school district. We're not like some school districts in the urban areas where it's a neighborhood school and kids can walk three blocks and they're on campus.
What is it you would like people to know about Yucca Valley High School?
Trojan pride.
Okay.
Absolutely Trojan pride. And pride is an acronym for us that stands for prepared contributors, respectful citizens, independent learners, determined achievers, and effective communicators. Those are our expected outcomes for our kids. Those are the things that we want them to be when they leave our school.
And what's the most important thing that parents can do to make sure that their kids are successful with their education?
Be our partners. Come alongside with us. Be in the trenches with us to help get this done. It is difficult work to raise children and educate children, but it's the most noble thing that we do.
And what can the public do to support our education here in the Morongo Basin?
Celebrate us. Believe in us. Be part of the process. Come out and join us even when you don't have a child in our school. Be part of the process, because you'll be surprised at the wonderful things that happen.
Any new projects on the horizon? I know we just had a lot of work done on your athletic field.
We are. We're working on a few things internally, but most of it really is the continual process of systems engineering. As the world of education evolves, our systems have to as well. And so really, we're in that fine-tuning stage of just doing the business we do better.
Justin Monocle, principal of Yucca Valley High School, thank you for coming on our show today. Let's do this again in a few months.
Gary, thanks for having me.
Sure, join me next week where we'll have Mike Ruggiero. Until then, thanks for listening. Drive carefully and God bless. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Up Close, a weekly talk and interview program presented in the public interest by Z1077 News. Join Gary Denyeau again next Friday at 10 for more Up Close.